Republic and sought help from whoever they could, including the Zionist regime and some other countries in the region. Yet despite all of these efforts, the enemies of the Iranian nation have failed miserably. The leader of the Islamic Revolution further underscored that the main goal of those who have organized the riots was to bring the people out onto the scene, and that they were not able to bring out people, so instead they're creating mischief in the hope of wearing out the country's officials. He added that they are making a mistake because people are getting tired of this mischief and it is causing people to loathe and despise the enemies even more than before. In this regard, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei emphasized that without doubt, this evil apparatus will disappear and that the Iranian nation will then enter the field with more strength, a fresh spirit, and will continue to make even more progress. The leader said the ability to create opportunities from threats is part of the characteristics of a nation that has faith. He referred to some examples of progress and advancement that have been made in recent weeks, such as Iranian scientists discovering a new method to treat leukemia, engineering new innovative equipment required for extraction of oil and gas, the inauguration of a strategically important railway link in Sistan-Baluchistan province, which is an important part of the north-south transportation corridor, as well as an inauguration of a number of new factories, the inauguration of the country's first offshore refinery, 6 new electricity-generating power plants, one of the world's largest telescopes, as well as the launch of a new satellite carrier rocket. The leader said these are all examples of Iran's advancement, especially at a time where the enemy is trying to prevent this progress with riots. The leader of the Islamic Revolution noted that another opportunity that has been created by the riots is a revelation of the true colours of those who organise these riots, who claim to be supporters of the Iranian people, adding that the hostility displayed towards all the sanctities of the Iranian nation, all that the Iranian people want, the hostility against Islam, burning of the Holy Quran, burning of mosques, hostility against Iran, burning of the Iranian flag and disrespecting the national anthem of the country, all of these have revealed the true colours of those who are behind the riots. In this context, he also added that they claim to be on the side of the Iranian nation, yet the Iranian nation is a Muslim nation, the nation of the Holy Quran, the nation of Imam Hussein, asking how can those who insult Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, who disgrace Arba'in and the Arba'in walk attended by millions of Iranians, claim to be supporters of the Iranian nation. In another part of his speech, Ayatollah Khamenei touched on the heroic establishment of the Imam Hussein army and the Najaf army as two battle armies of Isfahan province during the sacred defense years, saying that the offering of 23,000 martyrs, tens of thousands of veterans, thousands of freed war captives, and the existence of proud families who have dedicated 1, 2, and up to 7 martyrs to the Islamic Revolution is proof and a sign of the honour and revolutionary and jihadi identity of Isfahan province, and that all conscientious human beings have a duty to safeguard this magnificent legacy.
This is Back to Reality. reality.
Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Back to Reality. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Asma, your host, here with. I have two very dear guests, Sister Bita and Brother Abu Zahra.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum salam. Both of you, welcome to your program. And it's a pleasure to have you in here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Assalamu alaikum. It's nice to be here again. I'm a Hausa student right at the moment. I'm in my ninth year. And before this, I was in life sciences. So I've got a taster of quite a few things, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum, and I'm really honored to be here at this episode. My name is Bita, and I'm a medical student.
Well, as for today's episode, we have so much of interesting stuff to discuss about. I guess it's very interesting to know that my handwriting is going to tell a lot about me.
My handwriting is terrible.
Yes, still, it's going to tell a lot about you. You know, when I was at university, I remember there was a lecture upon handwriting and how much it tells about you. And then the lecturer was saying that if you write in a way that it goes downward, then it's going to say something special about you. If you are writing upwards, then again, it's going to show another thing. And it was so dazzling. I couldn't believe that. How come you can judge me and interpret me based on my handwriting? And it's not just handwriting. My name, my zodiac sign, my birth date, and everything is going.
Even especially
to
your body language.
Yeah.
Which is so important.
Especially.
In judging this sort of thing. But, you know, let me tell you my own opinion about these sort of things. I'm not telling you that, okay, this is not true. Handwriting mm-hmm. cannot show anything about you. Actually, you have a special handwriting and it means something.
Yeah.
Because it's your own handwriting. It's something which is personalized for you. And you personalize it for yourself. For example, you are writing big or small or something like that. This matters, actually, but this is not all the thing. Mm-hmm. For example, some psychologists or some persons like them, they are like, okay, because you are writing like that, it means that you are this category. I do not actually agree with that sort of thing, this certainty about myself.
I can understand that the handwriting can say certain things about a person's character. Maybe that, for example, they're too hasty, or, you know, they're disciplined and,
exactly.
And things like that. But to say that if you open or close your O's, then that means you're a talkative person and social and able to express your feelings, I think that's a bit of a stretch, to be honest.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt that anything that you do stems from something within.
Exactly.
But for it to give so much detail, I'm really skeptical about these things in general anyway, so.
There's an incident. We have this person in our family that has a very beautiful handwriting. He writes in a cursive way of writing. And then as you just penetrate through his character, you would never believe that he is not as beautiful as his handwriting. So it's not always the thing that you manifest in front of others that is going to show your true self.
I think the problem here is handwriting is a kind of ability that you can improve.
Yeah,
you know?
Let's get something straight from the very beginning. Handwriting is just an example.
Yeah, I know that.
Whether it's the way you dress up, the way you talk.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad sign that says certain things about them. For example, you notice girls usually have better handwritings than men.
Right. Really?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
When we used to compare notes in school, I still remember that the boys don't write so well. And I feel because girls are more disciplined, they're more caring, they pay attention to the fine details. And because they're after beauty, they're looking for beauty in these things as well. Especially younger boys, they're a bit more carefree, and, you know, they couldn't care less about how
the problem is exactly there. Generalization is the wrong thing.
Yes, no. So we can have a general idea, but we can't say, okay, that means this applies to every single person, right? This is a general thing that we observe from people. For example, doctors' handwritings are usually the worst handwriting in the world, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
okay, but then you're a woman and you're a doctor, so I don't know how that's going to turn out.
Yeah.
But that's the case. So these kind of general characteristics do come out in a handwriting or in how you dress yourself and things like that. If you're a young teenager, for example, you notice, you know, a lot of times they wear like baggy stuff and, you know, it
easy
really depends.
Things, yeah.
Right. They're a bit carefree about the look more than a girl would be. So these kind of things sort of do tell something, but there's sometimes people get so obsessed by these things, they go really, really far into it, you know, and they feel judged and, you know, they feel too particular and they put pressure on themselves.
I want to tell you also about the name. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody can choose his or her name.
Exactly.
But your name somehow is a part of you. Is
the thing that you have not picked for yourself is going to tell a lot about you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so nice. Yeah, the name, the meaning of my name is Beta, and the meaning of Beta means unique.
Yeah.
It means without any peer or any same in the world. Persian, Farsi, the same.
No similar one.
Oh, Beta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I think about changing my name because...
Oh my God. Why? Why you should change your name?
Because why shouldn't I have the right to choose my name? This is my right, I think.
Oh, where is your right?
Wow, this is getting to a new
phase. We're not going to leave that long.
We're going to have identification issues in the world if this starts becoming a policy.
So let's go for a short break and then we'll be back with some ideas from Brother Abu Zahra.
Sure.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Back to Reality here with Sister Beta and Brother Abu Zahra. We're talking about the effect of our names, the way we dress up, our handwriting, anything about us on other people's mind. You know that many people start to judge you based on your handwriting, based on whatever you have, whatever you show to other people is going to be judged by them. And it's going to give some impressions to others. And there are some scholars even, some specialists who can read through the lines and then get the true you from whatever you show to other people. Now, brother, when you read a paper that's been sent to you, do you get some feelings about the person who's been writing that? Or when you see someone, do you actually try to judge them or unconsciously even?
I think it's very normal and I think there's a reality behind it. I do think so. Mm-hmm. For example, in terms of a name, especially if a name has a very obvious meaning, I think if you're being called by a certain thing again and again for like 20 years, 30 years, surely it's going to have an effect on you, right? And that's why we choose nice and cute names for our kids, for example, or for our spouse, for example. Because we call them by that name and they feel good by that, right?
Yeah.
So I think if somebody has a name that has a good meaning, then and if we pay attention to that meaning, then I feel it can have an effect. In the same way, I've come to find that people's face often matches their character.
Yeah.
I know it's very strange, but when I meet someone, I can usually sort of get a feel of what kind of person they are.
Exactly.
Are they very smart? Are they cunning, for example, or not? Are they a responsible person or not? Whether it's the actual facial features or the way they're dressing or a combination of the whole package. Yeah, so I don't know which part of it is. It's like a whole package of how they speak, how they look, how they dress, the way they speak, how fast they are, their hand movement. All of this together sort of is the whole package sort of tells you about them.
Yeah.
Even when someone's writing the choice of words, you know, whether there's punctuation or not, I'm very particular about punctuation.
Yeah.
it tells me a lot about the person, in certain aspects of the person. I think all of these things do have an effect in representing your character. And that's why we need to be careful. And for example, some of the great scholars used to practice a lot of calligraphy, right? And that was like a representation of their softness and the beauty in their heart.
Yeah.
That they tried to express that even in something like their handwriting, right? So for example, we have about Allama Tabatabai. He used to go by a mountain or I can't remember, in nature, and he used to practice his calligraphy over there. That shows the loftiness of character inside them, and that expresses itself outside. So these things, I think, do play a role. It's not completely nonsense.
You don't have the knowledge to actually interpret.
Yeah, interpret based on whatever.
If somebody claims I can tell everything about you just by looking at you, then that's a big sheer lie. Yeah, no, I won't say that completely. You have certain people who are able to.
No, completely.
To do that.
Yes. Yeah. If I say I know you completely, then I'm lying.
It depends who it is. We can't judge people. There are certain awliya who can see people and know
that's,
people.
That's no, we're story.
Exceptions
yeah,
do not
talk
break
about
the
yeah,
rule.
But we don't know who's the, who are the Olia, right? So yeah. we don't know who's speaking yeah. to us. We should never judge people, right? You could have somebody really great in front of you and not yeah, realize
nice
that.
Nice point, really.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, the common people usually, I think it's far-fetched, but I think there are some people generally, like common people who are able to say a lot about you just by the way you speak, by the way you dress, by the way you write, by these things. And it's not like a superpower. I think it's just experience, yeah. right? There's some, like, for example, myself, I work a lot with people. I work a lot with people in different projects. And I've come to, with experience, I've come to know what type of people deliver in what way, right? Mm-hmm. I've come to understand people, how they work.
Yeah.
And you can see a similarities between them, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, if I'm going to give a project to a particular person who has a certain look, who speaks a certain way, who's a certain type of person, I would be like, you know what? This guy is not going to stick to the deadline. Uh-huh. And I can often tell that this guy is not somebody who manages
so
time
this
well.
So this knowledge comes by experience.
I think
and
experience tells us a lot
people.
About... Yeah, yeah. Not just interaction by, oh, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Real meaningful interaction where you're close to that person, you work with people. And when you're working with 20, 30, 40 people throughout like 10 years, mm-hmm. you start to understand how people yeah. are and sort of make links, certain links. Yeah.
yeah.
But again, we shouldn't judge people completely based on that.
And now let's go for a short break, after which we'll pursue our discussion. Honestly, what happens when you see someone for the first time is that you start interpreting them inside your head.
Yeah, it is. But you have to first clarify the meaning of judgment. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? You know, for example, when you see someone, you have some thoughts about that person according to their appearance, the way they talk, their body language, and anything else. And this doesn't mean that you are actually judging that person. Judgment is somehow judgment when you actually show it, when you uh-huh, talk yeah. about that, for example, behavior of
you. Make
you.
Decisions based on that. You yeah. mean that even if yeah. we have an understanding of someone based on their appearance yeah, or whatever, yeah. we will give them time to show themselves more and more.
Exactly. We just shouldn't jump to the conclusion, you know, that fast. Okay, because you are wearing like this, your appearance is like that, mm-hmm. you are a bad person or you are a good person. You yeah. know, this connection between what you see and what you think and the conclusion that you would draw according to these actually evidences is actually judgment, I think.
Still, we admit the fact that the way you dress, mm-hmm. the way you talk, the way you write,
each
the way
each
whatever
the way.
Is going to show a lot about you.
You know, and
that's
I
why
tell you
we
that.
Have been asked in our religion mm-hmm. not to put ourselves in a situation where other people yeah. judge us.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you have to be careful about yourself, about what you do, about what you wear, and something else, because this is your monument. This is mm-hmm. your actually symbol of being in society.
Exactly.
And I think it's a good point, too.
Now, brother, there's another point. They say actions are louder than
words.
Words.
Yeah.
And sometimes the things we do are going to say a lot about us.
Yeah, definitely.
And you believe in that, right?
Definitely, definitely. Because our actions are a product of our thinking, of our worldview, of our ideology.
Yeah.
We're going to act and behave in a certain way. Based on how we think and based on what we believe in and stand by. Obviously, we can't judge a person based on a particular action they've done in a short span of time. You get to know somebody better through their actions throughout a longer span of time,
yeah.
right? Because, you know, people make mistakes as well. For example, you meet somebody and at that point, let's say they got angry about something, they got upset about something. You just met them, this was like within half an hour. It may so happen that this person, something really triggered him to get upset. But normally, as a person in normal life, he's a very calm and composed person.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
so happened at this moment, he happened to be like that. So that is not representative of who he is. But if you spend time a few days with a person and through his actions, you can get to know him better.
Many times it happens that we see someone, we meet someone for the first time, or we even go for an interview or whatever, just have an interaction with a new person. Then we start to have an impression about them, but that impression might not be the whole truth, because as the brother just said, we have to go through too much of time in order to understand a real person. And as Sister Bita said, you cannot just judge me based on my handwriting, based on my name or whatever that is attached to me, or maybe I don't even have a hand in it, you know?
You know, dear sister, I always tell something to myself, okay? Everybody has a story. You do not know the whole story of that person. You are only one page
beautiful.
Of this
yes,
beautiful book.
Exactly.
So you are not a person who would judge this book.
Yeah.
No?
Definitely.
And since I studied literature, I usually believe in this, that every single person is a novel and you do not know in each chapter what has happened to them. So you cannot judge everyone haphazardly, just out of the blue. You cannot say this one is just like this, this one is just like that because of this and that. So we have to give everyone a chance to prove themselves. Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother.
Thank you,
dear listeners. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo Jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
International Atomic Energy Agency has once again shown that it is acting on a political capacity rather than a technical one. The IAEA Board of Governors adopted an anti-Iran resolution despite Tehran's positive and constructive cooperation with the agency. Iran's foreign ministry says the politically motivated resolution was issued while Iran has the most transparent peaceful nuclear program in terms of the number of facilities under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency compared to other countries and the number of inspections its nuclear activities have undergone by the IAEA. Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani stressed that the resolution was enforced after the U.S. and the three European countries, Britain, France, and Germany, exerted pressure on the agency's board of governors. Earlier, Kanani had said Iran took the first step in responding to the resolution. That came as director of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran, Mohammad Islami, said earlier in the day that the Islamic Republic will give a firm response to the anti-Iran resolution. Iranian officials have stated that Tehran won't bow to pressure and that Iran will continue its peaceful nuclear program in accordance with its needs and in compliance with its international obligations. Also, Iran's foreign ministry has earlier slammed the instrumental use of the international organizations against independent nations, saying that has become a norm of the foreign policy of Western countries. The resolution adopted on Thursday is the second resolution passed by IAEA this year, and calls on Tehran to fully cooperate with the agency's probe into uranium traces at three alleged undeclared sites in Iran. Tehran says the IAEA is basing its statements on information fabricated by Israel. Iran has started enriching uranium to the purity level of 60% at its Fordo nuclear facility following the recent resolution that the U.S. and the European Troika initiated at the UN Nuclear Agency's Board of Governors to mount pressure on the Islamic Republic. Tehran has informed the International Atomic Energy Agency of its decision via a letter. It described the move as a strong message to the recent anti-Iran resolution passed by the IAEA's Board of Governors. Iran also installed two new IR-2M and IR-4 cascades at the Natanz and Fordo facilities, which have now reached the stage prior to the injection of uranium gas into centrifuges. This means that Iran has practically imitated uranium enrichment by means of the new cascades, and the process will finish within the next few days. Moreover, Iran has fitted and launched new centrifuges at two empty holes in Fordo and Natanz nuclear sites, in what is deemed as a decisive response to the resolution against the country. The holes under Iran's commitment to the terms of the landmark 2015 nuclear deal, officially known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, had been vacant, but centrifuges have been installed there once again. The report went on to point to the replacement of IR-1 centrifuges at Fordo with IR-6 as Iran's fourth important move against the IAEA resolution, stressing that the measures will increase enrichment at the site by 10 times. The latest measures are set to be in line with a law approved by the Iranian parliament to counter unilateral sanctions imposed by the United States on Tehran. The Iranian parliament passed the law, dubbed the Strategic Action Plan to Counter Sanctions, in December 2020, prompting the Iranian administration to restrict the IAEA's inspections and accelerate the development of the country's nuclear program beyond the limits set by the JCPOA. Iran took five steps in scaling back its obligations, among them abandoning operational limitations on its nuclear industry, including with regard to the capacity and level of uranium enrichment. All those measures were adopted after informing the IAEA beforehand, with the agency's inspectors present on the ground in Iran. Negotiators from nearly 200 countries at the COP27 UN Climate Summit in Egypt agreed to set up a loss and damage fund meant to help vulnerable countries cope with climate disasters. They also agreed the globe needs to cut greenhouse gas emissions nearly in half by 2030. The agreement also reaffirmed the goal of keeping global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. However, for the 27th time, the UN climate talks have failed to directly address the biggest driver of the climate crisis, the production of gas, oil, and coal. This is amid calls for the phase-out of all fossil fuels inside the conference walls and beyond. More than 80 countries had supported a proposal to phase down the use of fossil fuels at the UN Climate Summit. Ultimately, an attempt to address the biggest source of the planet warming emissions that are causing the climate crisis ended in a fiasco, as the participants only agreed to phase down polluting coal power and phase out inefficient fossil fuel subsidies. That's after a number of oil and gas producing nations, led by Saudi Arabia, blocked a key proposal to phase out all fossil fuels, not just coal. German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock said it is more than frustrating to see overdue steps on mitigation and the phase-out of fossil energies being stonewalled by a number of large emitters and oil producers. Addressing the summit, the European Union's climate chief, Frans Timmermans, said the EU was disappointed with the final outcome of the summit.
What we have in front of us is not enough of a step forward for people and planet. We should have done much more.
The UN chief, Antonio Guterres, reacted with saying that the COP27 climate talks had fallen short in pushing for the urgent, drastic carbon cutting needed to tackle global warming.
Our planet is still in the emergency room. We need to drastically reduce emissions now, and this is an issue this COP did not address.
Environmental campaigners labeled the COP27 summit as yet another monumental failure to tackle climate crisis. Activists blasted richer countries for not doing more to limit carbon emissions. They say the US, EU, UK, and others came to the summit with empty words, hollow promises, and the refusal to take responsibility for having set the planet on fire and destroying millions of lives and livelihoods. While the agreement to establish a loss and damage fund represents immense progress for vulnerable nations who have been calling for finance to address the impacts of climate change for many years, this win is bittersweet. The failure to address the root cause of loss and damage through agreeing to phase out oil, gas, and coal will mean more loss and damage in future. Currently, approximately 84% of the world's energy needs are met from the usage of fossil fuels, especially oil. In 2021, the world consumed nearly 490 exajoules of fossil fuels. That amounts to an unfathomable figure of epic proportions. The world is on track to produce more than double the fossil fuels that are compatible with a 1.5 degrees Celsius target. The fossil fuel industry is also earning 11-figure profits from this addiction, while households struggle to afford basic needs and over 1 billion people live with almost no modern energy. Africa alone is home to 600 million people without access to electricity. The US and China top in fossil fuel consumption. According to data, an average American consumes at least 23 barrels of petroleum every year. With billions of dollars invested every year into establishing wars, strengthening military and weaponry technologies by developed nations, they still have not come up with a concrete solution to end complete dependency on fossil fuels. Future changes are expected to include a warmer atmosphere, a warmer and more acidic ocean, higher sea levels, and larger changes in precipitation patterns. The extent of future climate change depends on what we do now to reduce greenhouse gases.
Security services, the fake Israeli regime, and certain Western politicians that have engineered plots to spark a civil war, destroy and break up Iran, must know that Iran is neither Libya nor Sudan. That was what Iran's foreign minister tweeted recently. Abdullahian said that Iran's enemies have their eyes set on Iran's territorial integrity and identity, accusing Israel and Western intelligence services of plotting to start civil war in the Islamic Republic. The statements were confirmed by a leaked audio from a presenter at UK's state-funded news channel, BBC Persian. Abdullahian had good reason to relay those sentiments. The statements came on the heels of a number of terrorist attacks in the Islamic Republic. One took place in Izeh, in the southwestern province of Khuzestan, killing 7 people, including a 9-year-old boy and woman. The other took place in Isfahan, in which terrorists attacked security forces and killed 3 of them. There's a vicious anti-Iran media campaign led by terrorist media outlets like the Saudi-funded Iran International, which are twisting the truth and are accusing Iranian security forces of committing the terrorist acts. This stage of the anti-Iran plot is called an armed one, something that the former U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton warned about. He claimed that subversive elements in Iran, which he dubbed as the opposition, were arming themselves with weapons stolen from besieged forces and smuggled from Iraq's Kurdistan. This was evident when an uptick in the number of security forces killed were reported during 3 days, from November 15th through November 18th. During this period, 14 security forces were reported to have been victims of terrorist attacks. The terrorist killings in Izeh, Isfahan, and Mashhad, which followed a recent similar attack against pilgrims and worshippers at the shrine of Shah Cheragh in Shiraz, also showed that the enemy plots have failed, and they are now subscribing to terrorist acts involving firearms and weapons. Iran has blasted the silence of the international community over the recent terrorist attacks. It blamed foreign powers for promoting and encouraging violence and terrorism. Further said that their silence is testament to that, saying undoubtedly the international silence of claimants of human rights and foreign promoters of chaos and violence in Iran in the face of the most blatant terrorist operations in a number of Iranian cities conveys no other message than encouragement of terrorism and the promotion of terrorism across the world. The Iranian city of Mashhad. Funeral processions were held for three besieged volunteer force members who were stabbed to death by rioters earlier this week. The turnout in the tens of thousands. Iran's leader has stated that they are trying to give the impression that large numbers of people are opposed to the Islamic establishment in order to impress ignorant individuals. However, the leader noted that the people's mass presence on stage to safeguard the Islamic revolution amounts to a slap in the face of ill-wishers. That became even more evident when the following day in Isfahan, again, people showed up in large numbers, tens of thousands, to pay their last respects to the victims while condemning all acts of violence and terror. Putting these scenes next to each other, there is no comparison. The Saudi-funded Iran International depiction of what is happening in Iran is far from reality, to the point that the channel, which Iran has named a terrorist entity, is actively promoting and encouraging not only acts of violence, but is under the delusional impression that there is a revolution underway in Iran. The scenes, when put next to each other, speak for themselves.
For weeks, Iran has witnessed unrest and riots in its different cities. The unrest started after a young woman named Mahsa Amini fainted in police custody and later died in hospital. The protests were initially peaceful, but violent elements supported by Western spy agencies hijacked the protests and turned into violent riots. The unrest has provided a fertile ground for Western governments and spy agencies to launch a media warfare on Iran and create anti-Iran fake news. A recent notorious case in point is the recent tweet by Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. In the controversial tweet, the Canadian Premier had claimed that Iran has sentenced 15,000 protesters to death. The false claim, which has been part of the media campaign against Iran, has been circulating on social media in recent days. The inaccurate tweet was live on Trudeau's official Twitter account for almost 12 hours before it was deleted. Several Western celebrities and news outlets, including the Newsweek, also shared the erroneous information. This is not the only case of false news propagated against Iran. When the protests first started in Iran, Western-backed propaganda outlets claimed that Mahsa Amini was beaten to death by Iranian police forces. Following an elaborate investigation, that claim also proved to be false. It's now become a common practice for these propaganda machines to publish unverified footages on protests in Iran. Back in September 2022, US media outlets ran a controversial report. The report was widely discussed and celebrated in anti-Iran outlets. But it turned out to be a fake report after Ayatollah Khamenei publicly attended a military ceremony in Tehran in October. The false report was propagated by Western outlets as Iran was battling the Western-backed riots. Social media platforms have also turned into a battleground of narratives against Iran. Analysis shows those tweeting the hashtags associated with the unrest showed a striking number of new accounts created since the protests started.
In August 2011, when there were riots in London because someone was shot and killed by the police, a number of people were killed. I don't recall the exact number. But big tech, Facebook, back then BlackBerry, and Twitter cooperated with the British government. In the case of Iran, big tech is used as a weapon against Iranians. So Iranian voices don't come out. Iranians lose their, if they are opposed to the Western narrative, they get sanctioned. All of the Iranian media is sanctioned. Many individuals have lost their accounts. I have lost my Facebook and Instagram accounts. So these Western big tech companies, they cooperate with Western governments, even though in the riots in London, people were killed, okay, and they arrested people and put them in jail for inciting riots. But in Iran, these same media outlets make threats, they support, they help people make Molotov cocktails, and they help mobilize the rioters.
The online anti-Iran campaign is fed by fake accounts used by members of the anti-Iran Mujahideen-e-Khalq organization terrorist cult who are stationed in Albania and so-called journalists employed by the Saudi-funded London-based Iran International TV, which is now on Tehran's terror blacklist. The television channel has openly been promoting monarchists, the highly notorious MKO terror group, and most significantly, separatist terrorists. A particular case in point is a project by Western media outlets to accuse the government of killing its own citizens. They have produced a long list of citizens which they claim have been killed by security forces.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرج.
Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all, and also our brothers from Sevier International School. Welcome Fawad Haider and Salamun Alaikum.
Salam, thank you, sir.
Are you
How
good?
Are you?
Alhamdulillah, yes. Thank you so much. And Brother Ali Nasser?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Great, that's great. So, brothers and sisters, thank you so much once again for joining us. So, Brother Ali Nasser and Fawad Haider, today in this session, inshallah, we'll be having Ayah 115 and also Ayah 116 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And we'll have a short explanation, the same as our previous sessions. And also the Tajweed rules, we'll practice the important ones. So brothers and sisters who are listening to us, please make sure you have your Quran with you and turn to Ayah 115 and 116 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So we will have listening to the recitation of this ayah, then we'll continue our class. Alhamdulillah, nice recitation. But now we will, inshallah, have a nice recitation as well. Make sure you repeat and listen after me. Okay, Ali Nasir and Fawad, and also brothers and sisters. So, 1, 2, 3, let's go. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ولله المشرق والمغرب
ولله المشرق والمغرب
فأينما تولوا فثم وجه الله
فأينما تولوا فثم وجه الله
إن الله واسع عليم
إن الله واسع عليم
وقالوا اتخذ الله ولدا
وقالوا اتخذ الله ولدا
سبحانه
سبحانه
بل له ما في السماوات والأرض
بل له ما في السماوات والأرض
كل له قانتون
كل له قانتون.
Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. ولله المشرق والمغرب. Okay. For Allah is, or to Allah belong the east and the west and the north and the
south.
South. So it says the east and the west, and it's all. It's just an example, okay, saying this. So, فأينما تولوا. So, whichever, wherever, okay? To the east, to the west, to the north, to the south, wherever you turn your face, okay, you turn, there is the face of Allah. Not the face you see, okay, this face that we have now. It means there is Allah Almighty, all right? The manifestation of Allah Almighty. Inna Allaha wasi'un alim. Allah is indeed all bounteous and all knowing. Now, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. And they say, who says? The Christians and?
Jews.
Okay. And they say, Allah has taken a son. Okay? Allah has taken a son. Subhanah. Immaculate is He. Subhanallah. بَلْ لَهُمَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Rather to Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and the earth. كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. All are obedient to Him. So, guys, these two verses, okay, talk about so important points. Now, in the first one, it says that wherever you go, Allah is there. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer, okay, than his vein, okay? Than his vein. We are closer than his vein to the human being. So it means that wherever you go, we are with you. We are inside you. We are with you. So wherever you turn your face, we are there, okay, you see. So if someone asks you that, where is God? Show me. You say, فَثَمْ أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّ. Wherever you turn your face, فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. But you need to have an understanding of Allah Almighty. You should have a belief in Allah Almighty. You should have like a knowledge about Allah Almighty, okay?
So if someone doesn't have any knowledge, of course, wherever you, whatever you say, they will not believe you, okay? So you should have an understanding, okay? I told you that you need proofs, you need like evidences, okay, on this. So, inna Allah wasi'un alim. Allah is the all-hearing. Allah is the all-bounteous. And also Allah is the all-knowing. وَقَالُ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. The Christians believe that who is the Son of God? Jesus is the Son of God. And also the Jewish people, the Jewish, they believe that? Huh? Uzair, Prophet Uzair is the Son of God. Okay? وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى الْمَسِيحُ إِبْنُ اللَّهِ. So they believe this. But subhanah, oh God. Why do they believe this? Because they say that, Prophet Isa alayhi salam did not have a father, so he just had a mother. So Allah Almighty is the father. Come on. What about Prophet Adam? He didn't have a dad, he didn't have a mom. So Allah is the mom and the dad, right? Subhanallah. This is a wrong belief. A kid can understand this, man. Come on. Yeah? So this is a wrong belief. بَلَّهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Come on. Those who need, they will have kind of son. We need sons. We need daughters, okay, too. Our generation must be continuing, okay? Yes? But Allah does not need son. Does Allah need son?
No.
Does he need? He doesn't need anything. He has everything. So this is a wrong belief. All right. So, كُلُّ اللَّهُ قَانِتُونَ. Everything is obedient to Allah Almighty. Okay? The sun, the stars, the moon, everything. So,
everything.
Guys, there are a lot of explanations, good explanations. I want you to refer to the Tafasir book, inshallah. Okay?
Inshallah.
So, we don't have much time. Our main topic is, inshallah, to practice the Tajweed rules. Now we are going to do it.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So, brothers and sisters, make sure you stay with us till the end of this session because important Tajweed rules are going to be mentioned, inshallah, in this session. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. Ba, when you stop here, مَغْرِبُ. So, what does the rule say, Ali Nasir? Because you have a jim. So, if you stop here, jim says it is jais. You can stop, you can continue. So, if you stop, you choose to stop. So, what happens? مَغْرِبُ. The harakat of ba will be changed to
sukun.
So when it is changed to sukun, another rule applied will be applied here as well.
Mad aradil sukun?
No. Ba is saakin here now.
Iqlab.
Good. You wanted to say qalqala, right?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
I said
qalqala.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll forgive you. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
So walillahi al والمغرب. مغرب. So if you continue, yeah, you don't need to do any قلقله. فأينما تولوا فثم. غمثلين. Make sure, okay. فثم. ثم means there. ثم means then.
Yeah.
فثم after that.
ثم. فثم. فثم means and then there. Then there is. Okay.
Yeah.
That means you turn to east. Then there is God. You turn to west, then there is God.
Everywhere.
Wajhullah. Jim is sucking here.
Qalqala.
Again, qalqala. What letters were there that we should apply qalqala or the bouncing sound?
Qaf.
Qaf, ta, ba, jim, da. These five letters. Put them together, Ali Nasir. Make words.
Qutb,
jad. Remember these two words. Qutb, jad. If you see them saakin, any of these letters, saakin, try to produce a bouncing sound, okay? Like a jump.
Yep.
Like they jump. Waj. Fawad, say this.
Waj.
Waj. Great. Ali Nasir?
Waj.
Waj. Okay, do not say waj. What? Do not stop here. Just bounce it a little. So, Wajhullah. Inna Allah wasi'un alim. Do not say Inna Allah wasi'un alim. No. The lam of the word Allah will be pronounced heavily. Why? Because we have
fatha.
A fatha sound before Inna. Na. Na Allah. Not Illaha. Allah and Allah will be pronounced heavily.
Heavily.
But Illa is light. If there is a kasra sound. Bismillah. A'udhu billah, right?
Yes.
Wasi'un alim. Tanween plus ayn.
Idhar.
Because ayn is from the six letters that we apply the rule idhar, which means no rule. So simply, normally you read wasi'un alim. So ayn is there. Waqalu ittakhadallahu. Again, the rule of hamzatul wasl and mad letter. Waqalu waw mad. اتخذ الله همزة الوصل and we skip همزة الوصل plus we shorten the long vowel sound, right? We don't say قالوا اتخذ الله, no, shorten the U sound. وقالوا اتخذ الله, وقالوا اتخذ الله, simple, okay, shorten the sound. ولدا, if you stop, the rule of stopping says if you stop at a word that ends with Tanwin Fatha, the Tanwin Fatha will be changed to
short vowel.
Alif.
Alif. Mad. Alif Mad.
Alif Mad.
Waladan will be changed to Walada. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدَا. And also Mad Adil Lissukun. سُبْحَانَهُ بَلَّهُ. Look, Qala we have here Waladan. On the top of Waladan we have a small word written Qala. So it means it's better to stop here. You can continue, but better to stop. Subhana Salah is written there, okay? It's better to continue. Opposite to Qala. بَلَّهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. There is no special rule. أرض, pronunciation of the letter. ضاد. And Salah also says that you have to continue. Better to continue, actually. كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتٌ. كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتٌ. But you have Lam. Lam says that you have to merge the Tanween with me. So once now listen with Tajweed rules to these both verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. So Alhamdulillah, we listened, that was great. Now you've learned these two verses, how to read them with Tajweed rules. More explanations of these two verses, okay, tafsir and explanations, refer to the Tafsir book inshallah. And also with Tajweed rules, please practice and listen. Thank you so much. If you have any questions, brothers and sisters, if you had any questions, please let us know inshallah. And also stay with us with the coming sessions inshallah. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevio International Schools Network. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil
faraj. Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والوحيد
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.